Evening. How's everybody doing? It's great to be here tonight. We were gone this morning, but we definitely missed assembling with the saints. Yeah. Just really, it's a good assembly. Very much a body. Really appreciate this assembly. We hope everyone realizes this is a special thing we got going here. It truly is a reflection of what God sees for His church. So, let's start off today. Tonight, let's read Proverbs 31, verse 10. Proverbs 31. We're just going to read verse 10 to start off with. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. Let's start with a word of prayer. Lord, great God, Father in heaven, Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, that we can assemble here tonight. And I'm very thankful, Lord, to be with the saints, Lord. It's no other place I'd rather be, Lord. It's very encouraging to be here, Father God. I just thank you for the body, Lord, for the body that you put together, Lord. Each and every piece and each and every stone is so valuable in your eyes, Lord. You've placed us, each and every one of us here, with a purpose, with a reason, with a part, Father God, of the body, Lord. Something to serve, something to work together, Father God. And it's just great when you see us all working together, serving, getting the gospel out to the lost, Lord. It's a world that truly needs it. I see that each and every day. It's a lost world out there, but praise God, you've given us a glorious message that is a message of victory, a message of hope, a message of reconciliation to you, Father. I pray you be with me tonight, Father, that the words that I speak would encourage the saints, it would build them up, and help them as they go out and fight the good fight, the fight of faith, Father God, to get this message to the world that desperately, desperately needs it, even though it doesn't even realize it, Lord. I just pray all things that are done glorify you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So a while back I was reading Proverbs 31, and this a thought struck me. Maybe some of you have thought this before, but it was one that struck me. I started thinking about what God really is thinking about here or talking about here. God lays out some specific traits that any man would think would be a great wife, a godly wife. And no, I won't spend the next 26 minutes praising my wife, even though I think she is an excellent wife, even though she doesn't always, she thinks I'm joking half the time, but I do. I really do appreciate my wife. She is an excellent wife. But I won't spend the next half hour chatting about that. Much of what is written about in the Old Testament is a foreshadow of something spiritual in the New Testament. So if you take that tract and you think about it, Proverbs 31, what would Proverbs 31 be talking about? Well, it's pretty clear. Who's the bride of Christ? Church. Church would be the bride of Christ. And so if God is God likes to lay things out physically for us in the Old Testament, but usually He has a greater and bigger purpose. And so while these are some great traits for a godly woman, I think God really is probably driving at more what the church is, or some ideas or some visions or some character traits He'd like to see in the church. So with that in mind, I'm going to take tonight and look at some of these aspects of Proverbs 31 and see how they could relate to the church. I bounced this off of Luke, and he told me showed me a link where his dad, Jay, had gone through this. And so I didn't read Jay's because I didn't want to plagiarize, because I knew I would have. And the mind's kind of funny that way. So I'll read it after this and see. I'm sure he probably nailed it quite a bit better. But these are some of the thoughts that I had. And see how Proverbs 31 really is speaking about the church. I think actually the more you look at it, the more you see. And I'm just going to hit a couple of things tonight. When I read through this whole thing, I really encourage every one of you, read this thing and think about it. This is talking about the church. Because it really kind of opened your mind. It opened my mind up quite a bit to Proverbs 31. I always thought it was just about a godly wife. But it's like, whoa, he's got a bigger picture in mind here. So let's dive right in here. In verse 11, the heart of her husband trusts in her. He will have no lack of gain. Trust. Trust is a funny thing in this world. It is just the funniest thing. It's something that can take forever to earn, and you can lose it in a blink of an eye. Do any of us give our trust just blindly? Yeah. Don, Matt, good to be you. You're a rare person. Most people out there I've met, and probably myself, I'd put myself in the same bucket. We require people to earn our trust. We want people to, you know, to, hey, you gotta earn our trust. You gotta show me that I'm gonna put my trust in you. I'm ain't gonna do it blindly. You know, one of the strange things also about us is that we're all free will agents. You know, God could have made us all machines. You know, where basically, you know, what we say, he could programmed us to operate a certain way, but he didn't. He gave us all free will. Free will is a great thing. We get to choose. But the freedom to choose also means the freedom to choose poorly or betray. So each of us has a choice daily in who we are going to serve, God or ourselves. God, he was thinking like Don. He gave his trust straight out of the chute. God kind of, you know, I won't say blindly gave us his trust in us, but he did. He trusted us while we were enemies of him. Jump to Romans 5:8. You might keep your finger there in Proverbs 31. I will be jumping back there. Say that as I wiped out my bookmark. Romans 5. We'll read verses 8 through 10. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. If while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. God put his trust, his faith, if you want to call it that. Faith and trust are pretty tightly interwoven. But he put his trust in us while we were his enemies. Now, how many of us would put our trust in our enemy? Probably not too many. That would even go a little bit far. You know, typically your enemy is not going to do you good. Your enemy is going to, you know, try to harm you. But while we were God's enemies, he laid down the life of his Son, Jesus Christ, as a ransom for us from death. He trusted that some would make the right decision to serve him out of their own free will. You know, he wasn't going to force us to do it, but he trusted that some would. We typically don't trust our enemies, but God has chosen to trust us even with no real reason to. You know, we didn't prove that we were trustworthy before God sent Jesus to the cross. We didn't do anything really to. In fact, actually, what was mankind doing at the moment? Crucify him! Crucify him! You know, that's what we were doing. And even us, now today, we weren't there, you know, chanting to crucify him, but our sins is what stuck him up on the cross. I mean, you know, that's what he died for. But God chose to trust us without us having to earn that trust. That is an awesome thing. That is a rare thing. If you think about your relationships, most of the time you got to earn people's trust. It doesn't come by freedom. It doesn't come freely. But God made the first move. He trusted his bride even before his bride had earned that trust. So the question is, what are we going to do now that we have that trust? You know, are we going to just kind of, oh, nice, we got, man, God trusts us. Are we going to continue to honor and deserve that trust? You know, that's the question to ask. The picture that God puts back there in Proverbs 31 is that the heart of her husband, that would be Christ, trusts in her, his church. And he will have no lack of gain. God trusts that his church is going to serve him. He put that, you know, responsibility, he put that faith in us. Now, are we going to be deserving of it? Are we going to, you know, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to chuck it? Are we going to abuse it? You know, or are we going to take that and really, wow, God has empowered us to serve him. Free will. An excellent wife is going to honor that trust that her husband has in her. She's really going to take that and do something with it. You know, go out there and serve him. And see, that really is the picture that God has as a faithful bride. It's one who only has eyes for him, who's going to take the trust that God has empowered her with, the faith, and do something with it. Verse 12 continues on. If we're in Exodus 12 and 13, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She's like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. If we're a faithful bride, we're only going to serve God and do Him good. That really gets down to our actions. You know, what we think is ultimately what we do. Our actions have to come from somewhere. They come from our brain. Our brain is controlling our body, our mouths. Everything we're doing emulates from a thought in our head. So what we think is what we do. But the funny thing is that the more you do something, the more it becomes who you are. You know, the more you practice something. Basketball players, they're not basketball players because they think about basketball, because they do it over and over and again. You know, I program computers, you know, as part of, you know, my makeup, not because I really like it or anything. It's not bad, but it's when I do so much of it, you know, it just becomes part of who you are. It's because of what you do. What you think is what you do, and what you do is going to become who you are. It all kind of works together. Well, what God is driving at here, the picture of His wife, is going to be one that works and serves Him. See, there are a lot out there who say they follow Christ, but really, you look at what are their actions, you know. Or Jesus, you know, He said, look at the fruit. A lot of people want to say they follow Christ, but when you actually look at their actions, you're like, well, it sure doesn't look like it. You know, the proof's in the pudding is kind of what they say out there. You know, it really comes down to what we're doing. See, a faithful wife is going to be more than one in just words. You know, if I told my wife, yeah, I love her, but, you know, I was never around, wasn't faithful, none of that, I don't think she'd believe me. You know, didn't provide for the family. She'd probably say, I don't think you really do. You know, it's got to be more than just words. It's got to go into action. And a faithful wife will be faithful in more than just words. The Proverbs here says, she looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. The picture presented here, and that's actually an interesting thing I want to work off there, says she works with her hands in delight. I mean, she likes working for him. She enjoys it. You know, that's the picture. Not just she works for her husband. She does, I got to do this. She does it, but she enjoys it. The picture presented is one of a wife that wants to contribute to the family. It's not a delight, but a joy to serve her husband. Not have to, a get to. So really, I mean, this comes back to, you know, what's our attitude with the assembly? You know, as the bride of Christ. Is it a joy to be here or a chore? You know, is this where you want to be, or is this where you have to be? You know, those are the questions. The picture of the bride that Christ wants is one as a bride that wants to be there, is excited to be there. You know, and those are just for, you know, what about our daily Bible reading? Is that like, I got to squeeze that in somewhere? It's like, looking forward to doing that. At least you can chuck that world away for a little bit. You know, is that our refuge, really where we go to be recharged? Or something we just try and squeeze in. It even gets, those are some of the fundamentals, but even, you know, get down to tithing. Is it a joy? It is a joy for a faithful wife, a Proverbs 31 wife, to contribute to the family finances. And really, what's our attitude towards that? You know, that's where the rubber meets the road. When I talk about actions, the mind, you know, can think lots of things, but the actions is really where we're going to find out where our attitude, where our faith, where everything is working from. Our actions is really where it goes. God kind of rolls right into this when you jump to verse 15. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. I don't know about you guys, but this world is a busy place. It's very, very busy. Has it always been this busy? I kind of think there's always been a pressure for time. I think, you know, it's just been a time constraint. There's only so many hours in a day. But it seems like with technology that's supposed to make life easier, but it seems like it's actually made the world work at a much faster pace. It's really kind of condensed things down. Depending on where you're at in your life, life can be very busy. You know, there's all sorts of commitments. There's jobs, there's kids, there's families, not to mention spiritual, and a million other things in this world that can vie for our attention. Now, I think Satan, you know, has these direct attacks on how to knock us off. Let's get some false doctrine in there. Let's get some, let's see if we can get some false doctrine. Let's see if we can get him to go back to the flesh of the world. But if none of those finally work, the last thing Satan can do is, well, let's just get him too busy to actually be able to follow me. You know, kind of tie people up with too many other distractions. I think that might have been the worries of the world or the riches. Basically, God just tries to get people too busy to follow Him, and they end up just quitting. Satan can't get us directly to quit following God. Then he'll use diversionary tactics. Basically, tries to get us to squeeze God out of our life. Have you ever felt that way? I have. I'll raise my hand, you know. Some weeks are just a little crazy. And you wonder, how am I ever going to get this going? But it really comes down to priorities. It comes down to the priority. What's our priority? Are we going to get up and do our Bible reading and prayer time? Or are we going to sleep the extra 30, 45 minutes? You know, that's why it says here, the Proverbs 31 wife, she rises while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. You know, she runs out of time, she gets up earlier. That's really where it is with us. Well, if it's a priority, it'll make it work. I know from my own life, and this is my own personal actions, and I also know from working and speaking with others, that if something is a priority, we will make time to get it done. It, you know, people get done what they want to get done. And what they don't want to get done, they put off till tomorrow. So, I mean, that's just the way we're wired. I don't quite know why, but like I say, I've seen that in my own life, and I've seen it with others. If it's a priority, we will get it done. If it's priority, we will make time to do it. And the question is, how do we view ourselves? Do we view ourselves as that faithful wife who's going to get the time in to spend time with her husband, Christ, reading His Word and finding out what He has in store for us? It all comes down to priorities. Let's jump over to verse 16. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. This kind of continues to go on here, but we'll just start here in verse 16. Why does the wife buy a field? What's the motive? What's she going to do with that field? So she's going to take that field and she plants a vineyard. It kind of works on through there. Verse 18, she senses that her grain is good. Her lamp does not go out. Verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor and she stretches out her hands to the needy. Well, she buys that field to plant a vineyard. Ultimately, she reaps a harvest from that vineyard, which is then used to care for her family and help out the poor. Read there in verse 20. A couple of points here are, first, her mindset is focused on serving. Her mindset isn't focused on self. She bought that vineyard with a mindset to help out her family, to help out the poor, to help out others. The Proverbs 31 wife here is thinking about others. She's not thinking about self. She's thinking about, how can I help out others? How can I help out my family? How can I help out the poor? How can I, not only her family, but even reaching out to those around her? Her mindset is focused on serving. She takes what is of hers and she invests it, instead of spending it on things that are destined to perish. Buying a field and planting that field is to do so with an eye on the future. It's not focused on the moment, it's focused on the future. When you grow something, you're basically planning, hey, something's going to happen, you know, a month, 6 months from now, and I'm going to get a harvest. You don't plant something hoping, you know, like some of the kids' books, you get up the next morning and expect a tree. No, you're thinking about the future. You're waiting for something to grow. Now, you can take this physically or spiritually. We'll start off with physically, and I say this to myself as much as anybody else. Americans burn through a lot of money. I mean, we just do. I mean, you think about it, you know, Mr. Love, back when you were a younger folk, would you ever spend a buck on a bottle of water? How about $4 on a cup of coffee? There you go. But today, we do this all the time. And like I say, I'm speaking this to myself as much as anyone. You know, someone, if even back when I was a kid, if someone said, oh, they'll be selling water for a buck. Huh? I got a hose out in front of my house. You know, or $4 on an espresso. I mean, but some people, this is a daily thing. All of this is very commonplace. And it's, like I say, it's easy to get caught up in it. You know, it seems like that's what the world is doing. It's easy to kind of start going with the flow. Hey, I get my espresso, my cup, my ringtone, or whatever else I might be spending money on. Well, really, I mean, I'm like I say, if you download ringtones, nothing against you, but you know, the fact that you can, the people have made millions off of people buying ringtones for their phones is interesting. But anyhow, Satan really doesn't care what we do with our money as long as we don't use it for the kingdom. He doesn't care where it goes as long as it doesn't go to the kingdom. That's his goal. So the bride of Christ must be a pretty shrewd, must be a shrewd investor and wise in what she does with the resources. And that's exactly what you see here in Proverbs 31. The kind of, you know, flat way out, I don't know, the straight shooting message here is the spiritual revolution is going to take money to get it out. You know, those YouTube videos, a lot of has been donated time, but time is money. You know, Mr. Donahue, you know, donated his time, and I'm exactly sure what Mr. Donahue does, but I do know he gets paid really well for it. You know, he's donated his time. Our website, you know, that takes resources. This building, you know, I can only imagine what it takes to heat it when the doors are freezing shut. So all that happens with the spiritual revolution takes money to get it out there. And so we need to be investing in those things, our finances, wisely, because all of our finances can be used to get the gospel out there. The spiritual side of this verse, let's look at that right now. Jump to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 11 through 15. Romans 10, 11 through 15. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent, just as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. There's only one way the gospel is going to get to the world around us, and that is through us. We're going to be the ones who have to take it out there. It is church. It's God has entrusted this message to his bride. He's given it to his church, and it's up to his church to get the gospel message to the world around him. We need to be sowing the seed, just like that Proverbs 31 wife is sowing the seed in the field that God has given us, which is the world. It's done in faith. Like I said before, growing is something you do in faith. You hope, or you got a good idea that if I sow here now, 6 months later, I'll have a stalk of corn or some grain or something there. But the greatest thing, you know, and I've tried to grow things in the past, and usually they die. You know, my wife wants to start a garden. That's it. See, I can't even say it. Get it out of there. Garden. Anyhow, she wants to start a garden. I'm like, more power to her, because, you know, I don't do well with that stuff. Gardens really aren't my thing, because a lot of times it doesn't grow, and I get frustrated. I don't like that. So, but the great thing about spiritual things is you sow, you are guaranteed a harvest. It's in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6, 7, and 9. 7 through 9. Galatians chapter 6. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from his flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not do heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. That's a great verse. You know, you're guaranteed no frustration. You sow things spiritually and something's going to happen. You know, you will see some results. Might not be today, might not be tomorrow. Same thing as, you know, put it in the ground. But this one's going to grow, even though the ground might not. God guarantees a harvest, but the harvest only comes to those who sow. And we won't turn there. But sometime, check out 2 Corinthians 9, chapter 9, verse 6. Makes the point that the more you sow, the more you reap. The less you sow, the less you reap. You know, so the more that we're getting it out there, getting the message out there, that we're working with people, building up the body, whatever you want to plug in there for, you know, ways that you can help out, getting the gospel out. You know, and like I say, this isn't just about evangelism. It's also about building up the body, encouraging the new Christians. So whatever you can find a way to work and help out, it's all needed. You know, there's so many ways to serve. But the more we sow, the more we will reap. Apply this, and you can take that and you can apply it to either the scenarios, spiritually or physically. So the question comes down, where are we putting our time and our resources? Are we planning for the Lord? Do we have that picture of the faithful wife? You look at that, and when you read all of Proverbs 31 with that in mind, you'll see that everything she's directed at is built the family, serving her husband, the family, serving her husband. Take that and extrapolate that out to the church. What a picture of what a Christian should be doing in the body. Everything for the family, the body, the local body, everything to serve God. And that's a powerful picture for me. It's an exciting one as well. It really shows what we get to do. On a side note, this isn't Proverbs 31, but you should invest your resources into the body, your time and your energy. You know why? Because if you give it to the world, it's going to burn. It's pointless. You know, it's useless. I mean, whatever you give to the world, eventually the people will turn on you, the things turn to rust, moths destroy. Giving our resources to the world is a waste. So give it to the body. It's definitely the way to go. Let's jump back to Proverbs 31. I want to hit just a couple more points. We're going to jump all the way down to verses 25 and 26. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. This is a great picture of how the bride of Christ looks at the future. She's not afraid of it. You know, what messes this world up more than anything else? Fear. Fear of economics. Fear of politics. Fear of government. Fear of death. Fear of... You can chuck anything you want in there. What drives, you know, this world, and who controls most of that is the media. The media puts it all in there. You know, we have this media that we can get to at any moment, and what's it all doing? Doom and gloom. The world's falling down. Everything's falling down. It's basically Satan working behind the scenes to try to grab the minds of the saints. Grab the mind of the world. And the saints as well at that point. Trying to work off of fear. Christ's bride is not afraid of the future. Why? Because she trusts in her husband. She has faith in her husband that he's not going to drop her on her head. Fear causes lots of people to make really bad choices in life. If all I have in this life is the flesh, then I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry and make sure I get everything else. And if anything's going to happen in the flesh, I'm going to be very, very afraid of it. Fear of death makes man turn to the flesh. But our husband, Christ Jesus, has taken that fear away from us. Jump to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, so that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through death, who through fear of death were subject to slavery all of their lives. Like I said, people today are afraid of everything, and it causes the most bizarre behavior out there. You know, yeah, they try to drink it away. They try to have a bunch of relationships. They try to have the midlife crisis and buy the Porsche. They try to pills, you know, medical marijuana. You know, we were talking on the way back, and it's, are there really any qualifications to getting a medical marijuana card? Okay, so that's, but I mean, do you really have to have a medical ailment? I mean, I don't know, side point, but I don't know if there, what's that?
Yes, there are.
There are? Okay. I wasn't sure if there were or not, because I know lots of people that seem to be getting them really easily. What's that? All right, we'll take your word for it, Wayne. But like I say, it drives people to do the weirdest things in this world. You know, some people, they just can't hack it, so they off themselves. You know, other people, they run away from it. I mean, fear just really messes people up. You know, but if our hope is in the promise of Christ Jesus, then we have nothing in this life to have any fear of. Faith in Christ wipes out all fear in the physical. And that's the picture that God has for His bride. You know, she looks at the... What actually were the words? Let me check the word. Strength and dignity are clothing. She smiles at the future. Good, bad, and different. She smiles. Why? Because she trusts in her husband, Christ. That's where her faith is. This is the picture that God has for His bride. Smiling at the future, even when things might look grim from a physical standpoint. That's a great evangelical tool. When things look grim in the flesh and we have a great attitude, it's going to open doors. Because there's going to be some people that are going to say, hey, what's with you? Why, you're either loony or you know something I don't. You know, in reality, we know something they don't. We know that there is one who can take care of all those things. This is why, if you look back in history, the church has always thrived under persecution. Why? Because that's really when it comes out. That shows true faith. It shows those who truly trust in Christ. The bride of Christ is one who can smile at whatever may come. She has faith and trust in her husband. I'm going to wrap her up right now. There are many other aspects you can look at in Proverbs 31 that we can... And I encourage you to read Proverbs 31 with the mindset it's talking about the church. It's talking about you in the church. It's talking about who you are. It's really a powerful picture. Much of it really comes down to trusting in Christ to take care of us and also making our priorities line up with His priorities and with what He wants and making Him a priority in our life. The more you do that, the more it'll work out. If we trust and truly have faith in Christ and we believe that we're the bride of Christ, then Christ will be our highest priority. You know, men, I can say this, you know, myself as well, we can look at Proverbs 31 and say, see, that's what a wife should be. But you know what? If we ever do that, make sure we're looking back at ourselves. Are we being the perfect bride to Christ? That really is, you know, make sure that we're not... if we're expecting that out of our wives, we better be doing the same thing back to Christ. Mr. Wilson and my wife are smiling. I don't know about this. Probably something going on. No. Anyhow. But women, maybe your husband doesn't appreciate what everything that you do. Maybe he does. You know what? It doesn't matter because you have a heavenly father, a heavenly groom, who will appreciate you if you handle yourself accordingly as a bride of Christ. So I encourage you to do so, both men and women. No matter what happens on this planet, really, your groom in heaven is the one you want to please. If you're doing that, then down here, everything else will work out. So I really encourage the building's assembly here. God is looking for an excellent wife for His Son, Jesus Christ. I got to say, you know, it was fun putting this together, but I also would say, this is a great assembly. You guys are doing a lot of good stuff. So keep it up. It really is. This is a great body. We really did miss being here this morning. So it's very encouraging. So we just got to keep on being that life. God is looking for an excellent wife. And I think as the days get kind of evil and things get kind of bad out there, He's going to have a hard time finding it. But those that shine will be the ones that really shine as lights for this world. And they're the ones, the true seekers will find us. So appreciate your time. Thanks.